If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me over to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to look at chapter 7, verse 14, and then we'll, after we look at that verse, we're going to be going back to the New Testament. Book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. You got it? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The book of Isaiah was written in the 8th century. And there's approximately 400 years between the writing of the Old Testament and the writing of the New Testament. So, when the Lord was talking or showed this to Ahaz, the birth of Jesus hadn't been thought about. This is when he's telling him, hey, here's going to be a sign. A virgin is going to conceive my son, and his name's going to be called Emmanuel. So if knowing that, if you look over into the book of Luke, the second chapter, and this is where Jesus was born. And I'm not going to try to rush through all of this. I really want you to understand the steps that's going on here. Here's, they're foretelling, they're telling you that Christ is going to be born. And that's approximately 400 years in between where it was told and when it was. But in Luke, the second chapter, verse 12, the Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. How many of us knows what a manger is? A manger is actually, it's not no little crib that you rock somebody to sleep in. A manger is actually a feed trough that they feed animals in, cows, mules, horses. They put the hay in it. And so, you know, Mary and Joseph left their home and had to travel to, my mind went blank, to Bethlehem. And she was pregnant, riding on a donkey. That had to be a rough ride. And when they got to Bethlehem, there was no place for them. They had to go out into the barn, out into the stables. And then when she gave birth, she wrapped her son in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger that's used to feed animals. That ain't like going down here to Tallahassee Memorial, giving birth to a child, and laying him in a nice warm crib, and wrapped him all up, and earmuffs on him, or toboggans, that's what they put on. All warm. It's in a manger. You know, I can't imagine anybody laying their child, their baby, in something like that. It's, you know, it's just remarkable. And so there the Lord was. He's been born. He's fulfilled that prophecy of Isaiah that was over in the book of Isaiah. He's been born. Now he's living his life. For 33 years, he walked on the face of this earth. At the age of 12, he was found in the temple, away from his parents. From 30 to 33 years old is the bulk of what we know about Christ. That 3 years, he's performing miracles, he's walking on the water, he's raising the dead, he's healing the sick, the blind, the deaf. He's doing all these things. He's a perfect man. He's not sinning. But yet, we're going to see here in just a minute, they're going to crucify him. He's done nothing wrong. In those 3 years, that the bulk of what we know about him, what the Bible teaches us about him, he's an upright and perfect man. He's done nothing to cause what's fixing to happen to him. But we're going to look at that. And I'm telling you this to get down to the bulk of this message, the core of it. John chapter 19, verses 16 through 18 says, Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto the place called Place of the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up the spirit. They killed him for no reason. They killed him. While he was hanging on the cross, one of the thieves asked him, "Lord, remember me this day when you enter into paradise." And he said, "Today you'll be with me." The other one didn't believe. Even hanging on the cross, at the point of his death, he's saving somebody. You know, how many of us could, at the point of our death, ask somebody to be saved, to witness to somebody, to the loved one that's there with you? How many of us could do that? Jesus did. After he died, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 and then 6, says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. He said, 'He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord laid.'" Now, the angel is actually talking to Mary Magdalene and Mary when they come to the tomb. You know, when they crucified Jesus, when they took him down from the cross, he didn't even have a tomb to be laid in. He was laid in a borrowed tomb. He laid there for 3 days, or his body did. Laid there for 3 days. And on the third day, the angel rolled that stone back. I can only imagine how big that stone was and how much it weighed. But that angel rolled that stone back, and Jesus got up and walked out. Now, I told you all of that. I told you about his birth. I've told you about his death, and I've told you about the resurrection, and I told you all of that to get to this. In order for us to accept Christ as our personal Savior, you have to believe that. You have to believe what I just read you, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, and on the third day he arose again. If you don't believe any of that, you don't believe any of it. If you don't believe that he rose the third day, it's not going to do you no good. If you don't believe he died on that cross, it's not going to do you no good. You got to believe those three things. Then you got to ask the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Come on into my heart and wash me and cleanse me and save me. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? That once you've been saved, once Jesus has saved you, once you've accepted him as your personal Savior, that he's put his seal on you. You're sealed. Ain't nothing anybody can do about it. No matter how long you live here on this earth, whether it be 5 years, whether it be 50 years, whether it be 95 years, and 100 years. Because we got a couple in here getting close to that 100-year age. But you're sealed. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're sealed. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what you do, no matter how much you sin, now being saved doesn't give you a license to go sin. But if you do, you're still saved. You're still, when you die, you're going to heaven. You know, over in John chapter 10, and we're going to look at two verses there. And anybody that wants these verses after church, see me, and I'll give you a copy of what I'm reading. It says, John chapter 10, verse 28 says, and this is Jesus speaking now, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, when Jesus saved you, he sealed you. And now that you're sealed, you're one of his. And when you're one of his, there ain't nothing. And that's not good grammar, but that's the only one I know. I'm from St. Cloud, and we didn't learn good English down there. But there ain't nothing nobody can do to separate you from the love of God and from his salvation. You accepted him. He sealed you. And nothing anybody can do will pluck you out of his hand. He's wrapped his hands around you. His hands of love. He's got you. He's going to protect you. And nothing anybody can do can change that. No. In the book of Titus, the third chapter, fifth verse. You know, we're talking about our salvation here now. It's not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by washing us of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? Isn't that great news? You know, nothing we've done. There's nothing that we could do. You know, we can't buy our way into heaven. We can't work our way into heaven. The only way we can get to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that's according to his mercy and his grace. If it wasn't for his mercy, grace, and love, we wouldn't have anything. We couldn't make it to heaven. There'd be no salvation. But because of his mercy, his grace, and his love, we accept him as our personal Savior, and we will live an eternity with him. You know, and the other night, you know, can you just imagine how, what an eternity is? You know, we ain't even got a drop of it here on earth. We're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever with the one that shed his blood, that paid the ultimate price for us. To hang there on that cross and to be whipped, to be beat, be spat upon, have them crown of thorns placed in your head, to have that spear pierced into your side, to have your hands nailed, your feet nailed. What an awful death. But he shed that blood for each and every one of us. And he done it so lovingly. There was not a regret in his body for it. He loved us. He shed his blood. Ephesians, I use Ephesians a lot. But Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 is, again, some of my favorite scripture. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, for grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For grace are we saved. It's the grace of God. And it's not of anything we can do. It's by faith. It's not of works. We can't go around saying, oh, I was a good church member. I showed up every Sunday. I sang in the choir for years. I vacuumed the floors. I was there to meet people at the door. I taught a Sunday school class. I preached every now and again. I talked to people. None of that stuff gets us into heaven. It's not of our works. It's not of us going out there and carrying food to the hungry. It's through grace, mercy, his love, and faith is how we get there. There's no other way but that. And then the book of Revelations, verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 15. And the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, every bit of this that I've read you this morning is the gospel. It comes right out of the Bible. I haven't put words in there that's not there. I haven't taken words away that went in there. It's exactly what the scripture says. So if your name's is not written in the book of life, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible's very plain about what's going to happen to you. If your name's not written, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire where you'll burn it forever and ever and ever. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I beg you, don't let this day go by without doing that. And then in Revelations chapter 21, verses 4 and 5, this is a promise to all that is saved. This is a promise God makes us. And he says, God shall wipe away the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Isn't that a great promise? He's promised us that now that we've accepted him as our Savior, that when we get to heaven, there's not going to be no more of this. You know, no more pain. You know? And I'm sure people sitting under the sound of my voice today has pain. Where they've had surgeries, whether it be arthritis, whether it be just pain, back pain, neck pain, knee pain, pain. There's not going to be no more of that in heaven. You know, sometimes when we think about our loved ones, or we see one of our loved ones suffering, laying in a bed, and there's no hope for them, a lot of times we'll shed tears over that. If we see one of our loved ones pass away, we'll shed tears over that. If we know one of our loved ones is not saved, we shed tears over that. But the Bible tells us in heaven, he's going to wipe away all those tears. He's going to wipe them from our eyes. And there's going to be no more crying. We're not going to weep over anything when we get to heaven. He says, for former things are passed away. All the things of earth that we've endured here by living on earth, it's going to be passed away. And he says, and he that sat upon the throne, behold, I make all things new. Everything in heaven, everything is new. Former things are gone. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about any bills. We don't have to worry about mowing our yards anymore. We don't have to worry about anything. He's made all things new in heaven. And I guess one of the dearest things he says here is close to my heart is right. For these words are true and faithful. He stands behind each word that's written. Each word that's written is a true statement. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in this Bible that is false, that is a lie. Every word in here is the truth inspired by our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. Again, I urge if anybody sitting under the sound of my voice, whether it be in this auditorium or whether it be at their home watching this out there on the video, please, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's very simple. You don't have to work at it. If you want to see me after church, I'll be glad to take my Bible and show you the plan of salvation. I've basically told you the plan of salvation here this morning. But please don't let this day go by without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. This may be the last opportunity you'll ever get to do that. And I'm not trying to scare nobody into salvation. If I could, I'd try to scare everybody into it, but you can't. You can't scare them into it. And I'm not trying to. I'm just telling you like it is. So, let's all stand. Our most gracious, loving Father, as we come to you thanking you again for allowing us to stand here this morning and bring your word. And I pray, Lord, that this message touches somebody's heart. I pray, Lord, if there's one out there that hasn't accepted you as their Savior, that you will stir them, dear Father. You will bring them to the knowledge of what it means to be saved. Lord, we love you. We want to tell you we love you. We want to thank you for each and every person that was here this morning. For each and every person that was watching us by video. Thank you, Lord. And I ask you to go with us as we leave this place. Bring us back at the next appointed time. And I'll just be sure to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise, for it's through your precious Son's name I ask these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.